Just a quick note before we dive in. This entire episode is AI-generated, including the voices you're hearing. Today's show is brought to you by MindBridge Meditation Helmets, a completely fictional product that supposedly helps you achieve inner peace through neural feedback. And remember, some details in our conversation might be inaccurate, so please fact-check anything important to you. I'm Maya, and today I'm talking with Derek about Fight Club, the 1999 film that seems to mean completely different things to different people. Derek, you're a sociologist who studies masculinity and social movements. What draws you to this particular movie?
It's fascinating because Fight Club has become this cultural Rorschach test. I've spent years looking at how men respond to social isolation and economic displacement. And this film captures something real about that experience. But then it gets weaponized by groups who completely miss the point.
That's exactly what interests me from a media perspective. I've been covering online culture and radicalization for about a decade now. Fight Club keeps showing up in these spaces where young men are processing anger and alienation, but not always in healthy ways.
Right. And that's the paradox. The film is clearly critiquing toxic masculinity and consumer culture, but somehow it also became a recruiting tool for the very attitudes it's supposedly criticizing. How does that happen?
That's what I want to figure out with you. Is this a failure of the film itself, or is it something about how we consume media when we're already primed to hear certain messages?
Well, let's start with what the film actually does well. It diagnoses something real about modern alienation, especially for men who feel disconnected from meaningful work, relationships, and purpose. That resonates because it's true.
The unnamed narrator's corporate job, his insomnia, his IKEA obsession, it's a pretty accurate picture of a certain kind of middle-class emptiness. And Tyler Durden offers this seductive alternative of authentic physical experience and male bonding.
Exactly. And the early Fight Club meetings do serve a function. They create genuine connection and embodied experience in a disembodied world. There's legitimate therapeutic value in what happens in that basement, at least initially.
But then it evolves into Project Mayhem, which is straight-up domestic terrorism. The film shows that progression pretty clearly, how a support group becomes a cult, becomes a violent organization.
And that's where I think the film succeeds as social commentary. It shows how legitimate grievances about alienation and powerlessness can be channeled into destructive directions when there aren't healthier outlets.
So if the film is actually warning against this progression, why do so many viewers seem to stop at Tyler Durden's philosophy without processing the critique? I've seen his quotes plastered all over forums where men are radicalizing.
I think part of it is that Tyler Durden is genuinely charismatic. Brad Pitt makes him magnetic and confident in ways that appeal to men who feel powerless. The critique might be too subtle compared to the visceral appeal of his character.
But is that the film's fault, or are we asking too much of media to inoculate people against misinterpretation? Should we expect viewers to get the intended message, especially when they're consuming it in isolation online?
That's a great question. I mean, the ending pretty clearly shows Tyler's philosophy leading to destruction and the narrator rejecting it. But maybe by that point, viewers who are already struggling with anger have already locked on to the earlier messages.
And there's something about the medium itself, right? The film makes violence look aesthetically appealing even while criticizing it. Those fight scenes are beautifully shot and viscerally exciting.
Right. And that's always the challenge with critique through representation. You have to show the thing you're criticizing, which means you risk making it look attractive.
I'm thinking about how this plays out online, though. When someone posts a Tyler Durden quote about rejecting consumer culture, they're usually not including the context of where that philosophy leads in the film.
That's the memeification problem. Complex ideas get reduced to quotable soundbites that lose all their original context and nuance.
But here's what I'm wondering. Are we being too generous to the film? Maybe the problem isn't just misinterpretation. Maybe there's something inherently problematic about making Tyler Durden so appealing in the first place.
What do you mean?
Well, think about who the target audience was in 1999. Young men, probably mostly white, probably college-educated or aspiring to be. The film validates their sense that they're victims of consumer culture and feminization of society.
Okay, but those are real social pressures. The economic anxiety, the loss of traditional male roles, the alienation. These aren't made-up problems.
I'm not saying they're made up, but the film doesn't really interrogate why the solution is specifically male bonding through violence. Why not, say, solidarity with other people facing economic displacement, including women?
That's actually a really good point. The film treats the problem as specifically about masculinity rather than about broader economic and social systems that affect everyone.
And Tyler's critique of consumer culture comes from this position of privilege, right? He can afford to blow up credit card buildings because he doesn't actually depend on credit to survive.
I hadn't thought about it that way. The anarchist fantasy is only appealing if you're not actually vulnerable to economic collapse.
Exactly. And when that message gets picked up by online communities, it often morphs into this idea that men are the real victims of modern society, while ignoring how women and minorities experience these same economic pressures.
But wait, I think we need to be careful here. Are we saying the film is responsible for how it gets misused decades later in contexts the filmmakers never could have anticipated?
That's fair. Social media and online radicalization pipelines didn't exist when Fight Club was made. The way content gets fragmented and weaponized now is unprecedented.
Right. And I still think the film's diagnosis of alienation and meaninglessness is valuable. The problem might be that it doesn't offer constructive alternatives to Tyler's destructive solution.
What would constructive alternatives even look like, though? The narrator ends up with Marla, but their relationship is pretty dysfunctional throughout the film.
True, and the film doesn't really explore things like community organizing, therapy, or other ways of addressing alienation that don't involve blowing things up.
But maybe that's asking too much of a single film. It's not supposed to be a self-help guide. It's supposed to be a critique.
Exactly. And I think this gets to a broader question about media literacy. How do we teach people to engage critically with complex texts, instead of just extracting the parts that confirm their existing beliefs?
That's where I keep coming back to context, though. If someone discovers Fight Club through a Red Pill forum or an incel community, they're already primed to see it as validation rather than critique.
So the interpretation is shaped by the community context where someone encounters the text. That makes sense.
And those communities often explicitly reject mainstream media analysis that would provide critical context. They see academic or journalistic interpretation as propaganda.
Which creates this closed loop where the misreading gets reinforced and becomes more extreme over time.
But here's what I'm struggling with. Does that mean filmmakers should avoid making complex, potentially misreadable content? Should Fight Club not have been made?
God, no. That would be terrible for art and for society. We can't let the possibility of misinterpretation shut down challenging work.
I agree, but then we're back to the question of responsibility. If you make something that you know could be misused, do you have an obligation to try to prevent that misuse?
I think the responsibility lies more with education systems and media literacy than with individual creators. We need to teach people how to think critically about what they consume.
But that assumes people want to think critically. What about viewers who are actively looking for validation rather than challenge?
That's the hard case. I mean, you can't force someone to engage authentically with a text if they're determined to misread it.
And maybe that brings us to a deeper question about Fight Club specifically. Is the film actually as critical of toxic masculinity as we've been assuming, or does it have genuine blind spots?
What do you mean?
Well, even the critique comes through violence, right? The narrator has to literally fight Tyler to resolve his internal conflict. The film still treats violence as cathartic and transformative.
That's actually a really important point. Even when rejecting Tyler's philosophy, the resolution comes through physical confrontation rather than, say, therapy or genuine self-reflection.
and the women in the film exist primarily to serve the male character's emotional journeys. Marla is basically a manic pixie dream girl who helps the narrator work through his issues.
Right. So maybe the film is more complicit in the attitudes it's supposedly critiquing than I initially thought.
It's making me think about how we consume critique versus propaganda. Maybe sophisticated audiences see the complexity, but the visceral elements overwhelm the intellectual framework for a lot of viewers.
And if the visceral elements are reinforcing problematic attitudes, even while the narrative structure is critiquing them, which message is stronger?
Especially when those visceral elements get extracted and shared without context online. A Tyler Durden quote hits harder than a film studies essay about what the quote means in context.
So we're in this situation where the film operates on multiple levels, but the levels that are most easily digestible and shareable are the most problematic ones.
And that might be true of a lot of media that deals with extremism or violence. The critique gets lost, but the aestheticization of violence remains.
Which brings us back to your earlier question about responsibility. Maybe filmmakers do need to think more carefully about how their work will circulate in fragmented forms.
But that feels like a really limiting constraint on artistic expression. Should every film be designed to be misinterpretation-proof?
No, but maybe there's a middle ground. Maybe the responsibility is to be aware of how your work might be misused and to engage publicly with those misinterpretations when they arise.
That's interesting. So not self-censoring during creation, but taking some responsibility for how the work lives in the world afterward.
Right, and maybe being more explicit about engaging with the complex social issues the work touches on, rather than just letting the art speak for itself.
Although I wonder if that would have helped with Fight Club specifically. The communities that misuse it are often pretty resistant to authorial intent or expert analysis.
True. And there's something to be said for allowing ambiguity in art rather than over-explaining everything.
I think what I'm taking from this conversation is that Fight Club succeeds as social diagnosis, but maybe fails as social prescription. It identifies real problems, but doesn't point toward constructive solutions.
And in the absence of constructive alternatives, people gravitate toward the destructive ones that at least offer a sense of agency and power.
Which suggests that the misreadings aren't just failures of media literacy. They're also symptoms of the same social problems the film is diagnosing.
Right. People are still alienated and powerless, so they're still drawn to Tyler's philosophy even when it's presented critically.
So maybe the real question isn't whether Fight Club is a good or bad film, but what it tells us about our ongoing failure to address the conditions that make Tyler Durden appealing.
That's a much more productive framing. The film becomes diagnostic rather than causative.
And it shifts responsibility from individual media consumers or creators to broader social and economic systems.
Although I still think media literacy matters, people need tools to think critically about what they consume, especially in online contexts where meaning gets stripped away.
Agreed. But media literacy alone isn't enough if people are turning to media to meet needs that aren't being met elsewhere in their lives.
So we need both better critical thinking skills and better social support systems. Media can't solve loneliness and economic anxiety by itself.
Which brings me to my final question. Knowing what we know about how Fight Club has been received and misused, would you still recommend it to someone struggling with the issues it addresses?
That's tough. I think I would, but with context and probably as part of a broader conversation about healthier ways to address alienation and anger.
I'm leaning the same way. The film raises important questions even if it doesn't answer them well, but it definitely shouldn't be consumed in isolation.
And maybe that's the key insight here. No single piece of media should be expected to provide a complete worldview or solution to complex social problems.
Derek, this has really shifted how I think about the relationship between media criticism and social responsibility. Thank you for pushing back on some of my assumptions.
Likewise. I came in thinking the misreadings were mostly about media literacy, but you've convinced me the film itself has some genuine blind spots worth acknowledging.
I think we've landed somewhere more nuanced than either of us started. Fight Club remains culturally important precisely because it captures something real about modern alienation, even if its proposed solutions are problematic.
And the ongoing debates about its meaning tell us as much about our current moment as they do about the film itself.